Okay, this is an interview with Mr. William Hamilton for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project on the racial tensions and violence during the 1960s in Farrell, Pennsylvania, by Ronald J. Rice at 521 Idaho Street, Farrell, Pennsylvania, zip code 16121, on December 12th, 1980, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, Mr. Hamilton, can we begin? Can you tell us a little bit about what your childhood was like and where you grew up?
I was born in Burl in December the 4th, 1920. And except for college and in the service, I've been here all of my life. And graduate of Farrell High School. And from there, I went to Ohio Northern University in pharmacy. And after serving in the service, I came back to our family pharmacy and I've been here ever since.
I see. When you went to, you come from a large family?
Yes, I have three brothers. They're four boys all together, no sisters. And three of the boys are pharmacists and one is a podiatrist. So it's all in the medical field.
Did your parents come here to move to Farrell, or are they living in Farrell?
No, they. My father was born and raised over around East Palestine, Ohio, and came here. My mother was born up north in Meadville, Pennsylvania. Came to Farrell as a school teacher. That's how they met.
Okay. What was school like for you then, high school in Farrell? Did you go to Farrell High School?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were the last class to graduate at the school over on Fruit Avenue, and not only did you get a good education, but you got a very well-rounded education because you had all nationalities sitting around you. It was just kind of like a melting pot, and I've always felt in life it's been a great advantage to me for that background early in life.
Where did your family live in Farrell?
First, I was born over on Fruit Avenue. And then my father built a home up near the Farrell Senior High School on Romer Boulevard, which was Haywood Street then. And then when we opened the drugstore on Idaho Street in 1933, we lived in an apartment above then. And that was my last home, because from there I went to college and then marriage.
Started your own.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide to get into the pharmacy business? Profession?
When I was in high school, I worked for my father as a clerk, and I liked it then, and so I knew probably by the time I was a sophomore in high school that I wanted pharmacy.
That's good. And you picked Ohio Northern for any reason?
Yes.
You decided
my father went there.
Oh.
And so I was very honored and very proud, and I'd go back again.
Okay. What was school like for you, college, when you went?
Very good. Of course, the war was on, and so we went on to an accelerated program. Many of my friends, of course, had to go on into the service. I was fortunate enough, because of grades, that I was able to finish, and with the agreement, as soon as I would finish, I would go into the service. Upon graduation, I applied for a naval commission, and was getting that.
So you graduated from college in 1944?
I finished in November of 1943 because of the accelerated program.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a class of 44.
I see. And you went directly into the Navy?
In the service. Mm-hmm.
And what branch of the Navy were
Navy.
You?
I was when it was an ensign and line officer.
And what were some of your responsibilities?
I was trained in amphibious warfare. And which was in landing craft.
Mm-hmm.
And we were involved in the final stages in the European theater, and then we immediately went to the Pacific, and from Okinawa, Iwo Jima, and occupation of Japan through.
So you did quite a bit of traveling.
Mm-hmm. In short time.
Yes. Yeah. Sounds interesting. Okay. got out of the service then in
June of 46. And came right back to Hamilton Dragon. We then bought another store, which we still have in West Middlesex. I stayed in the Farrell store, and my brother went to West Middlesex.
Was that when you officially changed the name of the store to Hamilton?
No.
Oh, no, before?
No. My dad, in 1933. Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned before a little history about the store. Your father started it?
My dad came to Farrell in 1901. And he was working for a drug company that, when they had a troubled store, they couldn't get their money out of it. He'd come in and get it back on its feet. And he came in to Farrell, three doctors on the store, and wasn't doing too well. When he got it back on its feet, he saw the potential and bought it.
It was called Smith Drugs then?
No. At that time, I don't know what the name of it was. It was way down on Broadway below the American Legion home. From there he went up the corner of Broadway and Haywood and put a store there. The building was real new, but the Colonial Trust Bank wanted that corner, so he sold that building to them and went up directly behind it, which is the President Greek Club now in Farrell, and put up another building. And at that time was when they formed the Smith Drug Company, which was four stores. In 1933, in the big crash, that went out the window, and so then he started on the street.
You refer to the crash, you mean the...
When the stock market crashed in 1933.
Okay. What was a typical day like for you when you came back from the service and began working here in the drugstore?
Well, of course, being out of service and wanting to get started, it was a long day because we had no relief, so it was a one pharmacist operation. So you opened the store and closed, worked long hours.
You're there as long as the store is open.
Yes, but of course, you knew the future, knew it was going to be yours, and so you didn't mind.
Okay. Then how did you meet your wife?
We were born and raised together.
Both in Farrell?
Yes, her family and our family were very close. In fact, her father worked for my dad. And when my father died, until I was 21, he was my guardian. So it was a real close friendship.
See, that's nice. What was the early 60s like, if we can jump up a few years here in Farrell? What do you remember most about the 60s? Early 60s, 61, 62. By that time you had a family started.
Yes. I'm just trying to think highlights of the 60s. They were all quite routine.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember much about the black minority leaders during the 60s? You remember hearing about Martin Luther King?
Yes. And of course, I don't think that Farrell was affected any more than other communities, even though the percentage of blacks were here in Farrell. We did have one uprising, of course. And with that uprising, practically every business in Farrell lost their front windows.
Yes.
And for about a week there, I was kind of on edge. The state police were in, people up on the buildings, with guns. But
that was in 69.
Was that the year?
69.
I know it was in August, and I was on vacation at the time that happened. But one thing about it, I realized it wasn't us they were angered at. It was just a general thing, so...
The feelings of the age, you would say, like the 60s?
Yes, and of course, what they did to our front, they did it to all fronts, and it was just more of a national uprising. It wasn't just a local resentment.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember seeing anything on the TVs or cities about rioting in other cities in the early 60s?
You mean with King and in Boston and so forth,
right,
and that?
Right.
Yes, naturally, it was current event, mm-hmm. and the
feel that could have had anything to do with maybe spurring some things that happened in Farrell.
Oh yes, it definitely did, because the it spread all over the United States.
Can you recall any kind of racial tensions growing in Farrell, say between blacks and whites, through the period of the '60s? I mean, being that it was a pretty turbulent time, could you see any tensions between, say, some of the black citizens and the white citizens?
Yes, among the younger set, there was feeling like that, but there really was no need for it in Farrell, because the black person in Farrell, I thought, was always treated well and always given a chance. I think one thing they probably in key positions, things like that, they didn't get the opportunities, and I think that this situation did bring that out. For example, now we have Paul Flint, who's heads of Mercer County Housing, which was always held by a white. And Paul has done a very fine job in this. And I think that there are positions like that that have opened up to the blacks that hadn't opened before. But generally speaking, the black in Farrell the older families were good people, and it was, from the business standpoint, it was a pleasure doing business with them. We extended a lot of credit to them, and they were good credit, and very grateful for what they got. I think there were, like everywhere, there were a lot of the younger set that got half-cocked and wild ideas.
Could you see any kind of like snowball effect? You know, smaller incidents or tension between people that maybe just build up to what finally happens in the later 60s? You'd say something like that might have happened?
I don't think particularly in Farrell, if it did build up, it built up because of the national grain. It was not here. Mm-hmm. Because they...
Most families got along pretty well.
Oh, yes. Yes, and fortunately, the Buell estate had this Carver Center, which is a real nice facility. Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
It's here in Farrell, and a nice gymnasium and facility for them. So that has been good, and of course, in sports, as you know, they've always excelled real well. And Farrell's a good educational system. They certainly have had the chance. Anyone that came out of Farrell that didn't get a good education certainly can't blame the system. It certainly was there for them.
Mm-hmm. Is there any events that you can think of, or things that might have happened that stand out that significant in Farrell during the 1960s? Any early 60s, anything that you could see as a racial influence in it? Or
no, I can't, Ray. The thinking back, I think that things in Farrell were just practically about the same as it was nationwide.
I'd say Farrell was more the typical things happen in Farrell that would probably happen in most other small cities.
Well, of course you got to bear in mind the percentage of blacks in Farrell are so much higher than the rest of the community. There's practically none in Hermitage, mm-hmm. and I think in the Farrell schools today, I think it's about 50-50. And I think in Farrell, I think it would have to be about a 30 or 35% as far as total population.
35% black.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, once some of the violence did begin in Farrell, like in 1969 or in later years of the 60s, Did you restore your receiving damage?
Only when they had that one big uprising and they did damage all over town.
That was in the summer, wasn't it?
Yes, in August. I have a clip here that I had kept and I still have it or not.
Clipping on that, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. This was in the Herald?
Yes. I think.
Did they describe things accurately in the Herald? Or what happened?
This might have been the Vindicator. I bet it was. Marshall Field. Because Mary Jane Wogie wrote for both papers.
How much damage was done to your store? Just the front windows?
Front windows, yes. One Christmas Eve here, about 4 or 5 years ago, we had windows knocked out again by young blacks. And the one was just 18, the other was a juvenile. And they went for pilferage. I mean, mm-hmm. They were, yes, things in the window. So the four front windows, they knocked three of them out just to get, and were seen, and went over to Mercer for court, but nothing came out of it.
Was the store ever robbed, or?
This store, after we were closed, they've broken in, but we've never been held up. They, here in January this year, they took a big boulder and knocked the front door and came in and stole narcotics.
Nothing more in the 60s than that would normally happen. Probably weren't broken in anymore.
This store, we've been here since 67, and that was the first time this store had been broken into. Across the street we'd had several. You know, the other picture I wanted to show you, I must have thrown out.
How did, once the store windows were broken and things were pretty tense in for a whole while, how did that change things the way they worked around here? Everybody pretty nervous, pretty on edge?
Yes, I mean, naturally there was tension over it, and I would say for possibly a period of a week, as I say, I was on my vacation up at the time. Dan, the pharmacist, my brother, stayed one night here when the state police came into town. And many of the people stayed here that evening and maybe a couple nights, just expecting something, maybe a firebomb or that.
Just protective building.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But other than window damage, that was all we suffered.
Did you ever fear for your personal safety or your family safety during that time?
No, and we don't today. I mean, I think maybe sometimes I'm a little too courageous, but I think with our location, we these people are on welfare. With our location, I probably fill more welfare prescriptions than all the drugstores in Mercer County combined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do a service for these people, and we treat them the same as everyone else. And I think for most part of the people, there's respect for us, and they know that we're needed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Would you say that all the violence has been been told it happened in Carroll, never really happened. I mean, reputation seems to have been that people were feared to walk outside their house at night. Was it ever that way?
I don't think any more than any other community. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's been an image. If you remember back when Francis Petrillo was mayor, they selected a committee here in Farrell to see a criticism for Farrell, and by far number one on the list for her was the image.
Mm-hmm.
It was to try,
image.
Yeah, it was to try to overcome an image of the community. Because there are, it's just like today, there's in the summer, particularly in the warm days, they'll brown bag and be out on the streets blocking the sidewalks and double parking and stopping and that just provoking people. But it's a very small percentage. It has hurt. It's hurt the business on Idaho Street that's left because many of the people from up on the hill don't come downtown anymore. They go on
to the malls.
The malls, yes.
Okay.
Farrell's unusual, Ray, if you stop to think. There's so many people in Farrell that don't have a car. They have to walk to the drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
They have to walk to the grocery store. What it's done with this problem, like I mentioned this summer and all, is it's from the time our store opens at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're busy. And at dark, it's about all over. Because too many women had towards dark, had purses snatched or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so those that have to walk get out early and then get home.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you contribute to some of the causes for some of the violence that did happen? Do you think something like the curfew laws and the lack of recreation facilities might have contributed to some of the youth getting
riot? I don't think so. I think it was only an excuse. The Farrell, and I say, being born and raised in Farrell and the recreational facilities that I knew as a child compared to these kids today, they have playgrounds with baskets up, and they're free until 10 o'clock at night. They've even left the lights on the playground so they can play longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the playgrounds during the day are supervised. There's it's sad that so many of the older boys come into these playgrounds and just destroy them, particularly the ones for the younger set, because the cost of setting those playgrounds is something. And these guys have really done severe damage to the playgrounds. But I think that the youth in Farrell has had excellent possibility as far as recreation. They don't think those. They feel they should have more. But that is the reason for standing on Idaho Street, hollering at people and blocking the sidewalk and molesting.
The blacks had any more? Do you think they had the same opportunity that everybody else had?
I think since Martin Luther King coming out from Waco Rise, I think that. Yes, I think it has. I have been able, particularly at the Farrell schools. They really have a chance up there, and the Farrell schools have given the opportunity. And it's shown in Farrell. We have an excellent black on council now. Herb Williams, who is a Youngstown College graduate, a man that served 20 years in service as a commissioned officer on council. I think the blacks have been foolish. I think when they have a good man like that, if they only get behind him, he ran for mayor. But they didn't get behind the man. They split their vote and he didn't make it. So and they had Bill Hyatt, another very qualified man on council for years. They have talked about wanting Farrell to be in wards, setting it up in wards, thinking that it would give them better representation. And why they haven't pushed for it, I don't know, because it would serve the town better.
Instead of a general election.
Yes. For example, a man that lives in the area, say between Idaho Street and Spearman Avenue, which that would be the first ward, would understand the problems in the area far better than a man that would live upon Roamer Boulevard, the top of the hill, yes. And this was something that they had talked about when they set up the new city manager type government. Mm-hmm. But when they proposed it, the thing and all had been written, and they didn't want to make a change at that time for fear it might take the whole thing down.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard talk among a lot of people about that, and I said, well, get it on the ballot. I said, you've got a real good point.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, the only ones that would be against it would be the politicians.
Mm-hmm. Right. Could you see any other kind of causes, maybe? Think there was any economic prejudices or real estate prejudices that might have made some of the younger blacks angry enough to go around and break the windows and cause trouble inside?
I don't. It's happened. But do
they have equal job opportunities?
Yes, I think so. Yes. And the younger black boys in the summer of the CETA program have had golden opportunities for jobs. I didn't feel the CETA program was handled properly. I didn't think the kids got the proper supervision.
Mm-hmm.
For some of those boys, it was the first job they ever had. And I felt seeing four boys sweep a parking lot up here and to take a forenoon to do it with a radio blaring and sitting down and all was a bad way to teach a kid to start out in this world. I noticed that the federal school system, they would have one of the school employees with maybe three or four of them. Well, in the Farrell Street Department, they only have about a total of seven. And of the seven, only about three could be supervisors, so these kids just didn't get proper supervision.
Right.
But for the kids of high school age and college age, they're in the playground work and all, and yes, there was opportunities.
Okay. What do you remember about the Black Youth Action Committee and the Cultural Center? Can you recall anything about that? The young group of blacks who got together and sent some demands of city government. They called themselves the Black Youth Action Committee.
Yes, I do. I remember that. In fact, that was I thought I had the picture of that. That was with Mayor Jaroski,
right.
His mayor. And
Can you recall your feelings towards that?
Yes. I felt that, for the most part, it was quite unjustified. The way they went before a council, they went into a council meeting, and I remember the mm-hmm. picture being taken in there with their hats on and all. There certainly, it wasn't the proper respect or the right way to go about something. I mean, they showed no respect at all. The mayor, members of council, it was quite unruly.
Mm-hmm.
From what I was told. And I think that a group of them, if they had gone in and met as ladies and gentlemen, they could have accomplished a lot more.
A lot more than making ways if they'd have went about it through the system.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about the city government? I think they handled the situation adequately at that time. There was, I think, in 69, when the violence happened, there wasn't any. I don't think there was any black firemen. There wasn't any on the council.
No, I don't think there was, Ray. And that's what I say. That was one good thing that did come out of from that time on. They did get their opportunities to serve in the different departments. And we did have, before 69, we had black policemen. And we have a very good black policeman. We had Ed Smith, who was also in charge of the Twin City Elks band. And we had John James, who was another good policeman. Ernie Saunders, who is still just about ready for retirement now. We had several at the fire department that just didn't seem to stay. The reasons for it, I don't know. But from this in the 60s, more were given a chance. That was one good thing about it. But again, I just didn't think they went about it. And I don't think that their belligerent attitude was the proper approach. Maybe they did, because one thing for sure, they did accomplish something.
Some people have argued that the only way they could get everybody's attention was to be violent and cause a little draw attention to their problems because nobody would listen to them. Do you think that argument has any justification?
Well, it's the way they do nationally. Yeah. I mean, you know, but where they did it nationally were places that they certainly were very much the minority, and I never felt that the black and feral was that much the minority.
Mm-hmm.
The black families in feral I remember back to my high school days were, for the most part, were good solid people, very 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 highly respected.
Mm-hmm. They weren't they weren't as segregating ferals as they were in other places.
No.
Okay. Besides your windows in your store being busted, was there any other times or places in your house or your family or
any
victims?
No. That was it.
How do you feel the news coverage was about feral? Especially Herald and maybe TV. How do you think the media covered the situation?
I think they printed it pretty much just as it was. I think many in Farrell feel that the Herald looks to Farrell to print things that if it had happened in Sharon, that they might have turned their cheek and overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think they were looking for news.
Yes, which as I say, I think if anything bad does happen down that way, I think that the Herald has always been most willing to pick it up.
Right.
But I think that they, what they printed certainly was correct.
You don't think they added to it, does some of the violence in? Maybe threw a little fuel on the flame by printing stories?
Well, from the businessman standpoint, we thought they printed more than they should have. We wish they hadn't, because it certainly does do harm to business.
Mm-hmm.
Because, just as I said today, our business here on Iowa Street, we don't have too many people from up on the hill. My business is people within 8 to 10 blocks of this door. Even well into Sharon, we pull clover as far as Malleable and Bud.
Right. How did some of your friends and relatives feel about the racial tensions and violence in Farrell? Some of your relatives maybe inside the city and some outside the city. Do you remember how they felt, maybe how they expressed what was going on with you?
I think they more or less felt that it was going to happen because it had happened in the larger metropolitan areas. But I think, for the most part, they felt that, why? But as you say, they'll say because they don't have the recreational facilities and the places to go at night. That's why they have to stand in front of beer gardens and block the sidewalks and play the radios loud.
I think their opinions are mostly formed by what they would read about Farrell.
Yes, very much.
Okay. Do you know anyone else besides yourself who was affected by some violence? Most of the stores around here did have some windows broken, didn't they?
Yes, I think we all did, right? As far as I know Murphy's suffered severe damage. There's no one over there now that could, Barry Mize, like at People's Hardware, of course, is still open windows over there. Barry replaced a lot of the glass, and he could tell you very much.
Did you know anyone who was personally affected by it, attacked, or?
No, not personally attacked. Phil Scardina, who owns a cigarette and record place on the street here, was in the middle of it all. I mean, because of the investment he had up there, he thought that possibly they were going to be affected.
Mm-hmm.
And so that night, I know he was right among it.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Dan was there. At one point, my brother went outside with a shotgun. State police told me, please go back in with the gun.
Within that summer in 69?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call what happened in Farrell a riot? Would you classify as a riot?
You had a group, yes. It certainly would have to be considered, because a riot certainly is 6 or 12 or 18 people, and that's, there were that many involved in it. Mm-hmm. And from my place, they went right on down the street, I mean, doing it to others. And of course, the Levine clothing store, which Merle Levine is...
Levine.
His father was mayor of Farrell. Merle is retired and lives in Hermitage now. The looting took him out of Farrell. His building down here is now the Urban Link building. He sold a lovely building in the Urban Link for around $5,000 at a much better value. But they just consistently kept breaking the windows and taking the clothing and things out of it. Mm-hmm. And to the point that I'm sure his insurance was canceled out. It's too high. But he had to be one of the most affected persons by it, because this was not from rioting. This just kept going on and on. Merle moved out of Farrell, I'd say about 8 or 10 years ago, and went to the Hickory Plaza. Sold his business last year, but I would mention to say that he had windows broken and things stolen 10 or 12 times.
Do you think that all the trouble that was caused in Farrell was caused by people from Farrell or people from out of town?
Both. It's a sad situation where there's, after 6 o'clock at night in Farrell, you'll find as many Ohio license plates on the street as you will Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know whether these are our fathers that are supposed to be living out of town or coming home at night, or the cars that couldn't get Pennsylvania licenses. But there are nights in Farrell, and this has been this way for years, Bill Caputo, the police chief, will vouch for it. There's an awful lot of Ohio license plates in this town. But there is, day and night, there's a big influx of blacks in this town.
Okay. Was there any movements that you knew of that attempted to better race relations in Farrell, perhaps prevent some of the violence that did happen? Any store owners together and
yes,
trying better things?
Yeah, the of course, we up until I'd say 5 or 6 years ago, we did have a Farrell Businessmen's Association, and of course that was brought up. And there have been periodic meetings with members of council pertaining to these problems and that. And but as I say, of course the formation of your urban link has helped this too, because they've had good executive people overseeing it. Right now, Nadine Nestor is is in charge of it. But that has been a big help. And of course, it's in Levine's word, that location.
Well, looking back now, from a standpoint of 12 years or so, what changes would you like to have seen instituted in the area, maybe to better things?
I think one of the best things for a community is a good business district, and I don't think the city fathers have done enough to try to keep the business district intact and feral. As I mentioned, stores like Levine, stores like Meyer Frank, Earl Marks have left because the image of people is not coming down. So it's the point now that there's so few of us left.
Do you think the reputation has been more harmful than the damage ever was?
The
the actual reputation that what I'm trying to say is, you think the reputation has hurt the business district more than the actual damage ever did?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's the people. Again, we go back to image. I think it has been such that people, and it's provoking in a way, Ron. People in the summer can come to Farrell's Curb Market. It's in the morning. It's one of the best curb markets around. And they can come to Farrell in the morning to pick up the maid, and they can take her back home at 4:30. But they can't come to Farrell to shop. It isn't safe. We see so much of that with our own customers. To have their business, we have to deliver.
Do you think things could have been prevented, all everything that happened? Or do you think it was inevitable? Do you think the violence could have been prevented?
No, I don't think it could have been prevented, because, as I say, these people knew what was going on nationally, and many of them, many people, minority, have always felt they haven't got a fair shake, and even today don't feel they had a fair shake. And because of that, it just had to happen.
How different are race relations now in Farrell than they were in the 60s? Are they better or worse?
They're better. They're better. The person in Farrell that's not under the influence of drugs or alcohol is a good citizen of the community. And and he knows that he's getting a fair break where he's working and also in his home life.
Do you think Farrell has any more problems with alcohol or drugs than another community?
Yes, right, because wherever you have people that are in the lower income bracket or people are on welfare, that's the type of people. And of course, with the lower rent housing, this is where they come.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's found to be there.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there was any single group of people or responsible for what did happen? Could you single any certain group or bunch of people out?
No, I couldn't. It was an age group of approximately 16 to 17, up through, I suppose, 25. That was about it.
Okay. Did you ever participate in any kind of meetings or something attached to Better Things, or as protest to what happened to your buildings?
Yes.
Were you ever actively involved in something?
Yes, when meetings were called, at the Urban League pertaining to this. And they wanted to reactivate the Farrell Benefits Association, because just more to keep with what was going on. And so I, with good relationship with the Farrell Police Department and Urban League and Chenango Valley Chamber of Commerce, that I always knew pretty well what was going on.
Mm-hmm. You think something that happened in 69 could happen again today?
No, I don't think so. I certainly could see no reason for it. Mm-hmm. I can see 69, because, as I mentioned, of the national situation popping, and but today, the black person in Farrell certainly is getting his fair break. He's getting the equal chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you think would be the best solution for Farrell to better its image, its reputation? Do you think it's been irreparable damage, or think it can be repaired?
Yes, I think.
concerned about their behavior. Mm-hmm. Because, as I say, I can remember back when I was a child of black people living up on the hill, and were good, acceptable people. But certainly after 69, it did open up more. Mm-hmm. And I think many of those people, once they got up on the hill and had to fit into that neighborhood and all, did become better citizens.
Okay, well,
again, it goes back, I think, again, many of the blacks were thinking that they were being abused. And really, I think it was a pity party that they were looking upon themselves.
And I feel sorry for themselves.
That's right, because I'm saying this, I can think of good black families years and years ago lived upon the hill and were very well accepted by their neighbors.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that you think important that you'd like to add that we didn't cover?
No, I don't. The thing that Farrell has got to work on is that big word image. Mm-hmm. They have got to show a better impression. I mean, less loitering on the streets and less littering on the streets, and try to get the property owner and business people to take more pride in their businesses.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.